They always ask me to do the introduction for the girls that I know all their secrets, but I'm not going to tell any of yours, Kelly, so I won't do that to you. If you guys know, some of you don't know Kelly McAnally in here because you're relatively new to the program, but Kelly is one of the OGs of our mom's program here at Scottsdale Bible Church, and so we are super, super excited to have her back in a teaching role this year. You're going to be completely blessed by everything she has to say. So just a few little bits of tidbit information about her. She is married to Brian McAnally, and Brian is, he's got like a big promotion. He is the associate executive pastor now here at Scottsdale Bible Church. So he has a myriad of like very important jobs to do. He still has an office right by my cubicle though, which is awesome because he's one of the funniest people I've ever met. And so he and Kelly have been married for 25 years this summer, right? Are you guys going to go like on a big fancy vacation? Okay, mm-hmm. Awesome. So they have that to look forward to. They have three amazing, beautiful children. They've got Kaylin, who is just lighting the world on fire. She's a graduate student at the University of California, Merced, in like some like kind of science-y degree, like, you know, like she's just a smarty pants. Like all of their kids are super smart and it's a little bit annoying, but we love them so much that we're very happy for her. She's got Cotter, who just turned 21, so pray for the McAnallys. And she's got sweet little Kelsey, who is going to graduate from high school not a moment too soon because she's got senioritis pretty bad right now. So Kelly is one of my favorite encouragers and mentors of moms. She actually has a role here at Scottsdale Bible Church. She is the curriculum coordinator for our Discovery Kids program. So all the amazing stuff that your kids get to learn in the moms program and on Sundays during programming, you can thank Kelly for that because she is helping design that for your kiddos very intentionally and with a heart for your little kids learning the gospel so that they have things that they can share with you when they get in the car after programming. I love Kelly's heart for moms. I love that she loves to encourage moms and make sure that moms know how important they are in the kingdom. And that's why we love to have Kelly talk about the topic she's going to talk about today, which is sticky faith. Her kids are all walking with the Lord. They are human children, and she will share that with you. So it's encouraging to know that your kids don't have to be perfect to turn out well, because they are very much turning out well. She and Brian have created this very sweet little family that just really enjoys being with each other. And it's no small coincidence that God has been in the center of that all. So I'm super excited to share with you today my very dear friend, Kelly McAnally. Song, girl.
Entrance music. That's fantastic. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here with you. And I just need to kind of set up my notes here as we talk because I just left them on my computer and that was to me the easiest way to do it. And I'm going to, oh, sorry, Josh. I won't mess it up too much. Scooch things around here so I can talk to you a little bit. I'm so happy to be here. And I did start being a mentor mom when MOPS, which is now called MOMS, started here at Scottsdale Bible many, many years ago. And then I helped kind of run it for a couple of years and then have taken a break from that. So thank you, leadership team, for inviting me back and letting me be here. As we get started, I know all of us walked in this morning with different things going on in our lives. I know we all come from different backgrounds. We all have different interests. We all have different relationships. We all have different children. We all have differences. But the one thing that we do have in common is that we all have kids and we love our children. And I have a passion for your children. I love you. You're great. I like women. But I really, really love your children. And I have had a passion and care for kids for a long, long time. So today I'm just going to kind of talk with you about our story a little bit and kind of the things that we learned along the way. And if there's anything here that helps you, I would be pleased with that. If there's things that I say that you don't really connect with and you think that's not quite where I am, well, personalize it to where you are, because we're all in a place somewhere. So make what we're talking about today personalized. Think about your own children. You are the expert for your kids. You are the one that knows them the best. And so think about each one of your specific kids as we're going through and talking. I'm going to show you a couple of pictures because I love sharing pictures of my own family and children with you, so you just get to bear it with that. So as Sonia said, we will celebrate 25 years of marriage. This is Brian and I in 1995, back in the 90s. We were kids when we got married. And we graduated from college, got married, and moved to seminary within about 4 weeks of each other. So it was a really busy time, but we were so excited. We were so ready to start our life together. And we moved 1,000 miles away from all of our family. So we just kind of had each other to rely on. And in a way, that was really great for us because we weren't running back and forth to other places. And so Brian was going to seminary full time, and I got a job at this place called the Radio and Television Commission, RTVC. And what we did there was produce, market, do programming for Christian television and radio shows. So back in the 90s, before Netflix and all that stuff, you had your major networks, and then you did have some cable shows. This is probably more than you want to know, but I'm telling you anyway. So on the major networks, there's a certain amount of hours that have to be either educational or religious programming. And most of the time, your major networks would just put a televangelist on and count that as good. Well, as the televangelist started going downhill, they needed more programming, and so this company came in and started making programs that you could air. Documentaries, talk shows, there was a call-in radio show, just all kinds of different things. I really talked way too long about that. Okay. I got a job as the director of marketing at this company. I had a degree in marketing. It was the perfect fit. And the first show that I got was a children's program. And I didn't know anything about it. All I know about is sitting down and watching TV. I didn't know anything about kids programming. I didn't have kids at the time. So it was called Nana Pudding. And it was made by the same company that made Barney. So I thought it was going to be like this fantastic show, and it wasn't. But we did our best to market it. And the best thing about Nana Pudding, the best thing about this whole chunk of my story is I got to learn about kids. And so really putting on a television program for children, and if you watch this, you'll see it's just a formula. And you talk about how kids learn and their approaches and the characteristics of kids. And you take one of these, one of these, one of these, and it equals a show. Then you take a different one, a different one, a different one, it equals a show. So that was my job, was to make sure we were checking off all the boxes before the show was aired and then to promote it. And since you've never heard of it, that tells you how good of a job I did promoting it. So during this time, I learned a lot. And so I'm going to share with you a couple of lists of things that I learned about kids. Granted, just a person. Don't have children myself. I'm just trying to learn what we're doing here. So the first one was the characteristics of kids. None of this is going to surprise you as a mom, but these are things that we just had to continually remind ourselves of as we were developing these shows. Kids are literal, so no abstract language when you say, oh my goodness, you've grown a foot since I've seen you. Kids could literally look down and say, no, I've got 2 feet. I don't have a third one here. So you have to make sure that when you're talking with kids, most of the time, they're very literal. Kids are active. We know that. Move around a ton, which is good because we want them developing those gross motor skills, all these inner motor skills that work all the way out to their fine motor skills, which is holding a fork, writing their name, using scissors, all that kind of stuff. Kids need to succeed. Honestly, we all need to succeed. We all have that desire to do something that we've accomplished. So that's why age-appropriate games, activities, puzzles, all of that is wonderful. Let your child succeed at putting the puzzle together. Don't put in that last piece because you want to get it done and we got to go. Let them do it. Attention spans are short, about 1 minute per age, and you probably already know that too. A three-year-old can concentrate with you for about 3 minutes, if you're lucky, and then they move on to something else. Learning equals fun. We all, whatever, if I was going to teach you today how to crochet, and I just let you sit there, and I said, first you take the yarn and you put it on a hook, and which I don't even know how to crochet, so. But to actually learn something is more fun. We need to be doing something along the way. Kids are curious, which is good. That's how they're learning. Three-year-olds typically ask, what? Four-year-olds typically ask, why? Five-year-olds typically ask, how? Now, that kind of varies, of course, according to age, but what, why, how? I'm sure you've answered those questions a million times yourself, but that's how they're learning. They're so curious. They really want to know. So answer the question. And if you don't know the answer, either make something up or say you don't know the answer. They're not going to like hold you to it if you tell them the sky's blue because of a certain reason. Kids are creative. I love creativity of children because it's unique and different for every single person. And I love that the first verb in the Bible is, in the beginning, God created. And so it's good to be creative. Kids are sensitive. They may not be able to express their feelings. They can't articulate their frustrations, but man, we know that they're upset. And they absorb all the things around us. So those are some basic characteristics of kids. That was our first list. Our second list was approaches to learning. So think about yourself and think about each one of your kids. And this list is for everybody. This is not just a children's list, but you're either visual, you really like to read, you need to see things, you need demonstrations, you're musical, you really enjoy music, you learn through music. Our youngest, Kelsey, when she was little, we always used to play American Idol with her Barbies. That's what she wanted to do. And so every Barbie would come up and sing a song. And then this is like back in the olden American Idol days with Simon Cowell and Paula Abdul and Randy, whatever. Jackson, thank you. And he'd say, you're a little pitchy dog. And then Simon would gripe about him, and Paula would go, I love it. And so then she would have a new Barbie come up and sing, and then she'd have all different songs, like emo songs, and I don't know where she was getting it. But she learned through music. So as soon as I understood that, I taught her my phone number, our address, important birthdays, all to tunes, to familiar tunes, to songs, to music. That's how she would learn. There's logical. That's when you're really thinking things through. Those are your engineers. Those are those building kids that can really put things together that are just magnificent. Verbal, just like to talk. When you say, hey, how was your day? And they talk for like 2 hours and you're going, oh my goodness. I didn't need every single detail about what she said to who said to why, but okay. Physical, that's our active learners. That's the running around kids. Natural, that's kids that like to be outside, kids that are really drawn to pets, kids that are really drawn to your cat, dog, fish, ferret, whatever. Relational is that I just want to have a friend over. I just want to have somebody with me all the time. That relational, as we are relating to our kids, definitely learned, actually when I was in a mom's group, that when you want to relate to your girls, it's best to relate face-to-face. They love that eye contact. They love that interaction. But when you're relating to a boy or to a son or to your husband or whatever, that relating tends to be more side to side. So with my son, I would go side to side on the floor building Legos, playing with cars. With my daughter, I would go face to face, dress up or pretend or whatever we were doing. So those relational learning styles. And then reflective. And that's just when you're thinking about stuff a lot, when you really just want to process things. And that's good. Sometimes we label reflective kids as being shy. And that's not necessarily true. They're just needing to think. And so that's a good thing. Okay, one more list. Huh. The ways that kids learn. And this one is pretty simple. You'll also be able to see a lot of this in your own children by talking. Do you know that if you just talk to your kids, they increase their vocabulary by 1,000 words every hour? So even your babies, you're on the way to Target, just talk to them. Yes, we're going to Target. I need to get laundry soap, and I need to do this, and don't let me buy more than 3 things at the dollar spot, and just, I'm going to go straight on, and then we're going to get diapers, and just talk. Just have the vocabulary going. Just be with them. Have that communication. Kids learn through reading, of course. I could spend 30 minutes talking about how important it is to read to your kids, but I won't because I've got other stuff to say, so just read. Repetition, over and over. We all need to learn through repetition. Kids don't start walking, fall down one time and go, well, I guess walking's not for me. Guess I just won't do it anymore. We always learn through repetition, so keep trying that perseverance. Through hands-on activities, back to the crocheting, the only way you're really going to learn how to crochet is if you do it, not if you listen to me tell you how to do it. Kids learn through play, so let them play. Let them imagine. Let them be bored and come up with new things to do. That goes into the exploring as well. And then the last two really go together. They learn by watching and by imitating. And so who are they watching and imitating the most? Usually it's us. And so when you see your child doing something, some kind of habit or something, like I used to pick at my fingers all the time, and Kaylin just would pick at her fingers, and she wasn't picking really. She just was doing this little thing, and she just thought that's what you did. And so it's stupid little things that we do, but they're watching and imitating, and they're learning. So I want to challenge you that kids are always learning. Here I am now. I've got 3 kids. I've quit my job. I've decided to stay home, and I'm raising my children. And it's at this time that I kind of figure out that this formula of these 3 lists was not just good for TV. In fact, it was good for everything. And so instead of worrying about what program, how we were going to make it all fit, I turned the thinking in my mind and thought, how can I do this just with my own 3 children, with my own kids? Thinking about their characteristics, their approaches to learning, and just the ways that they learn themselves. And so I began and understood that learning can happen at every age and at every stage. So however old your kids are, they're absorbing and they're learning. And we want certain things that we teach them to stick. We don't want that learning to go in one ear and out the other, which a lot of it does. But the more we do, the more intentional we are, the more purpose we have, things truly can stick. And so a couple of things that I wanted to stick with my children, Brian and I were really committed that our kids would love each other. Man, sibling relationships were so important to me. And maybe it's because I don't have a great relationship with my siblings. So, side note, figure me out psychology-wise, whatever. It was super important for me. And so we were intentional all the time about how our kids interacted together. And of everything that we've done correctly, I think we did this one well. If you happen to know my children, you would say they get along. You would see that they like each other. And so I kind of paired this up with the characteristics and how kids learn. Talking. One of our rules in our family was you always had to say good morning and good night to every single person in the house. That may sound silly, and you may go, well, duh, that's what you're supposed to do. But it tends to get out of control if you don't do it, and you just kind of stop talking to them in the mornings and stop talking to them at night. And so every morning, every night, every person had to interact with each other. In a happy way, of course. The repetition of the things that we do for our celebrations and the traditions that we have are all family-focused. Sonia said, we have, it was really a goal for us, like, everything is about my family. Everything is about my people being together. If you were to look on my Instagram or my Facebook, all you would see is pictures of my family. Not that other things are wrong or bad, because there are pictures of my dog, too. But it's just, it was really important to us. We've never given a store-bought greeting card in our life. So we always make cards for each other, for birthdays, for Mother's Day, Father's Day, whatever. Everything is handwritten because it's so personalized that way. And even when they were little, it was just whatever, scribble, scrabble on a page. But man, the letters that we get from our kids now on our birthdays, on Mother's Day, I treasure them. They're handwritten. It's their sweet handwriting. And they're saying some amazing, wonderful things. And so handmade cards kind of helps bring that together. This one is really stupid. Let them play together. Of course, we want them to play together, but I made them play together. There were times they could do their own thing. There were times they could go to friend's house, but then there were times, no, you all three will play together. You can choose for 30 minutes, you can choose for 30 minutes, and then you can choose for 30 minutes on what we're doing. And of course, when Kelsey got her turn, they played American Idol Barbies, and Cotter had to sing, but that's what they did, and they all just kind of jumped in and did it. Since we live so far from our family, whenever our grandparents came to visit, it was a really big deal. And so we made them feel super special about just coming into our house. And so we decorated their rooms. We would decorate water bottles that we'd put out on their bedstand every night, and just always doing sweet things to let them know how much they meant to us because they were coming to visit us. And then we just did everything together again. So if you had a football game, if you had a concert, whatever you did, we were all together. Kids couldn't miss it. So if they just went, oh, I don't want to go, no, we all go. And then here's a picture of one of our homemade cards. It's hard to see. It's just a big poster board that Kelsey made for Kaylin when she turned 15, I think. It looks like it says you're 5, but it says you're 15. There's a 1 there, I think. She's pretty big for 5 right there. Okay, another thing that we really emphasized was helping each other. We wanted this to stick, that you help other people. You love your family and you help other people. So here's just a couple of ways thinking about the approaches to learning, the visual, musical, logical, verbal, on and on, of ways that we chose to help other people. Because that was super important. I loved the announcement this morning that there's a way you can go out with your kids and help. And the best way is for them to see you helping. And that's something that you want them to grow up to love and to imitate. You want that to stick for sure. One of the things we did was we delivered meals for Meals on Wheels at Christmas time. Because there are people that do it all year long. And then they get the respite on the holidays. And so then we would be their respite and we would come in and do it at Christmas. And it was just a wonderful way. That was a way kids could be involved. They sat in the car, they came out. We would make placemats for them. So here's a little picture of us delivering some Meals on Wheels when they were little. And side note, I love old people. I just think they're the sweetest thing. I love children and old people. And so I would just go up and hug these women and old men and just like, Merry Christmas. So Kelsey just like, okay. So she's going in and kissing on them and just doing everything because she just saw me doing it. So we kind of had to put some boundaries in on who you actually kiss and who you don't kiss on the lips. So watching and imitating. And Brian's like, quit kissing them, Kelly. They don't want you to kiss them. Like, they do want me to kiss them. After I had all three of my kids, I also started working as a curriculum writer. So I work for Lifeway Christian Publishing and do curriculum for Sunday school, Vacation Bible School, written a couple of books through them, just a couple of things, but have written curriculum, still do, for 18 years now. And so it was important to me that not just great things about loving each other and great things about helping each other, but there are some core faith foundations that I really wanted our kids to learn. And Brian and I were really intentional about this. And these are the 8 foundations that are taught, basically, from babies to 5 years old. So through our preschool years here. When kids enter into elementary school, first, second, third grade, other foundations are taught. More things are taught on top of that. So there's more than this that you need to know. But this is our preschool years. And so it's these 8 things that God loves you. God made you. He's always with you. He cares about you. We're driving in the car and we're talking about God. Jesus is God's son. We celebrate Jesus' birth at Christmas, and we celebrate that Jesus is alive at Easter. Jesus helped people. Jesus healed people. We talk about the Bible is one big story. As confusing as the Bible can be, it's got these 2 chunks. We've got 66 books. There's all these chapters, all these verses. It truly is just one story told in many different, over thousands of years. One big thing. And it all points to Jesus and God and how you can know them. Creation, we believe that God created the world. And so once again, if we're driving in the car, we're looking at things, we're counting. We like to count a lot, point out colors. God made that. God made that beautiful cactus. God made the sunshine, all the things, talking that God made everything around us. The church is a happy place. The church, you can go and meet friends. You can learn about Jesus. People care about you at church. People love you at church. Yourself, God made you. And there's nobody like you. And you are special. And God has a plan for you because there's just you. You're not copying anybody else's life. It's not a copy and paste. It's you. You're an original. God made our families. No matter what your family looks like, you have a family. You have a mom. Someone gave birth to you. Someone loves you. There's families that God made to live together and work together. And then our community and world. It's not just about Scottsdale. It's not just about Phoenix. It's not just about my neighborhood. It's about our state and our country and the world. That God made all of it. And so 2 more things that we tried to teach our kids. The first one was that they can talk to God. So we wanted it to stick that they can always talk to God. They can always pray. They don't need anybody else to do it for them. They don't need anybody else there. They personally, in the quiet of their mind, can talk to God. And so we talked about prayer a lot. We used literal language, not like, Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this day and bring us blessings upon our, you know. We didn't do that. We just talked normally because that's what prayer is just talking to God. And it's not just before bed and it's not just before a meal. It's just talking to him throughout the day. So we did it frequently, a lot of repetition. We prayed together in creative ways. We let the kids pray a lot. We prayed a lot. There would be times we would count. We were really, like I said, counting in colors. Cotter was all about the color blue. And so we would say, okay, today we're going to Walmart. Good one. We're going to count how many people we see in blue. And so as we're shopping through the way, he's distracted because he's counting and he loses track and all that. So he says that we had 19 people at the end of the day. Great. So we saw 19 people in blue. So we used to do a thing where we would do whatever we were doing in the morning. We'd go home, have lunch, and then we would sit down on their beds right before they took a nap, and we'd read a little story, and we'd pray, and then they would take a nap. And so during that time of prayer, Cotter would pray for the 19 people that were wearing blue. We didn't know who they were, but God does. And so we would talk to God about people that we saw. We would thank God. We would praise him. We would ask God for things, of course. There's just so many things, ways you can interact. So we wanted kids to understand that they can talk to God. And we would make popsicle prayer sticks. It's probably the easiest, first, best thing you can do with your preschoolers is just list people on the popsicle prayer stick, pull them out, pray for that person that day, turn it upside down, make sure you've prayed for all these people, turn them back over, get rid of people you're done praying for, add in new people, whatever. New classmates, new coaches, new whatever. There's always new people to pray for. Those 19 people wearing blue, they still need prayer. So, and then finally, we wanted them to know that they could also hear from God. So they can talk to God, but it's not just a one-way conversation. We wanted it to stick that they can also hear from God. And the way that God speaks to us to this day, the way God speaks to me, to you, to your kids, is through the Bible. And so becoming familiar with the Bible, looking at the Bible, hearing Bible stories, this is what we do with all of our curriculum. We do a 3-year chronological study of the Bible. So if your kids come to Scottsdale Bible on the weekends, they're gonna, and you come for 3 straight years, they will hear the entire Bible. So by the time they're from 3 years old through 4th grade, which is our ministry, they hear the Bible 3 times, age appropriately. That 3-year-old's hearing it different than that 3rd grade. So playing out Bible stories, reading stories. I've got a couple of books I'm going to show you next here on some wonderful books that I recommend. Hands-on, letting them open the Bible. I personally was not opening the Bible to Psalm 100 and reading it to my children. I was reading them age-appropriate books. But yet, I would open the Bible and say, well, do you know the first letter that most kids learn is the first letter of their first name? So Kaylin was all about the K for a long time. And so we would open up the Bible. I would try to find the Old Testament somewhere and say, can you find a K anywhere on the page? And if we got into the right place with Kings and, you know, King David, King whatever, we would find lots of K's. And then I would just say who the person was. I didn't give like a 30-minute devotion on King David, Bathsheba, and all the wonderful things that happened there. No, we just talked about K, and we just found the letter K, and that the Bible is full of words that talk to us because they're from God. So here are a couple of books. These are the 2 books that we use here at the church in part of our curriculum, and then the next 2 are going to be devotionals that you can use. But these are the Big Book of Bible Stories for Toddlers, and it's just a short little story, and it's perfect, and it's great for your toddlers to hear. And then the next one, the Bible Storybook, is a little bit more older, preschoolish age. This really emphasizes the fact that it is one big story, and that everything really is about Jesus. And so that's what we wanted to stick with them. The next one are 2 devotional books, and all of these, by the way, can be found in the bookstore just across the way or on Amazon. So if you just want to click, click. The Way to the Manger and then The Way to the Savior are great devotional books. Easter and Christmas, 2 times when, man, you can really dig in and help your kids know why we're celebrating those things. And let me tell you, it's a little confusing because in December, we celebrated that Jesus was born. And then about April, 4 months later, we're celebrating that he's an adult and he died on the cross, but he's alive again. And man, that's confusing. So gently talk your kids through those things about, obviously, it's not 4 months later. It was many years later, 33 years later, to be exact. And so these are some good books that can help you begin to talk to your kids so that these topics will stick about God, Jesus, the Bible, the church, themselves, their families, on and on. My challenge to you is it's not too early. No matter how old they are, this little one, that little one, it's not too early, but it's also not too late. It does not matter if they're already 10, they're already teenagers. Everything that you can do to help talk with your kids, just try. I love Baby Yoda. Anybody watch The Mandalorian? Oh my goodness, that thing is the cutest thing in the world. But I disagree with a quote from Yoda. I'm taking a stand. I disagree with Yoda. His famous quote is, "Do or do not, there is no try." And I say, pooey to that. try. Just try. Some things that you will do will stick. And some things that you do, you'll look back and go, well, that was really stupid. And sometimes you'll see your kids. My kids are, yes, great young adults, wonderful people, walking with the Lord. But oh my goodness, they mess up all the time. But you know what? So do I. But I just keep trying. I just keep on. I just keep going. And if you mess it up, if your kids aren't getting it, try again. Just keep doing it. You can be intentional. You can be the one. You're the expert anyway. You can be the one that sticks these things to your kids. So here we are, and there's my sweet little Barrett puppy. The question is, what do you want to stick to your kids? Thank you very much.